Friday happy hour on the Guy Benson Show. Thanks for listening. GuyBensonShow.com. Podcast free, on demand, every day when the show is over, including Bonus Benson on the weekends. Follow us at Guy Benson Show on Twitter and Instagram. We're also on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram personally at Guy P. Benson. This hour, sponsored in part by the Finnish Long Drink, which is fantastic. 21 plus only, of course. Always drink responsibly. TheLongDrink.com is their website. You can see where they're sold near you. You can order online. TheLongDrink.com. Joining us now once again is U.S. Senator John Cornyn, a Republican of Texas. Senator, great to have you back.
Thanks, Guy. Good to be with you.
I would like to start on a somber note. Your longtime colleague in the Senate, Dianne Feinstein of California, has passed away, and she left her mark on that body. I know that you worked with her for years. Would you share some of your reflections on her life and her contributions?
Well, although we had our political differences, to be sure, she was a great lady, a gracious lady. I'll just relate one incident that occurred. I was on an elevator with John McCain, and she came on the elevator, and John McCain referred to her as Your Majesty. For some reason, that seemed to fit. It seemed to be appropriate. She was just a... She had a presence about her, and she was always civil, even when we disagreed about policy matters. So, you know, my sympathies to her family, but she lived a great and long life and was an important member of this institution.
California's longest-serving senator, a liberal Democrat, you're a conservative Republican, so obviously a lot of areas for disagreement. Were there some areas where you did, however, work together in a meaningful way that you are thinking about today?
Well, we worked together on, we're both served on the Judiciary Committee, and we both served on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. I can't really talk a lot about the Intelligence Committee, so let me talk about the Judiciary Committee. So things like criminal justice reform, anti-human trafficking legislation, things like eliminating the rape kit backlog. Those are the kinds of things that I consider to be nonpartisan, and certainly Dianne was a gracious partner on many of those. We also served together on the International Narcotics Caucus, those are just some of the things. It's a long list, but like I said, she certainly will be missed.
Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, dead at the age of 90. Senator Cornyn, shifting now to the issues of the day, you represent, of course, a border state, in some ways the border state of Texas. The numbers are just eye-popping. They've been horrible for 2.5 years. They are now worse than ever. We had Griff Jenkins, our colleague on this show yesterday, describing what was happening before his very eyes and then backing it up with the statistics. Twice in the span of this week alone, Border Patrol has encountered 11,000 people in a single day, not counting the gotaways. People are at their wits' end at the border. You've got communities declaring states of emergency, Democratic mayors calling out the administration. We've talked about this over and over again. Are there members of the United States Senate on the other side of the aisle, Senator, who look at this and at least privately concede that it is a disaster? Because it seems like the plan from the White House and the Democrats, for the most part, is to just ignore this as much as they possibly can and do their best to blame Republicans of all people, whether it's Governor Abbott or congressional Republicans. That's the talking point, which bears no resemblance to the actual reality.
Well, the key word in your question is privately. Democrats in the Senate will concede that what is going on at the border is unsustainable. Unfortunately, in the absence of leadership from the White House, they don't have any political cover to do what they know to be the right thing, which is to try to stop the flow of humanity, stop the drugs, and all the other consequences that go along with surrendering our immigration system to cartels who care nothing about the people. They care nothing about anything except for the money. And right now they are getting rich. And we are paying the price in Texas with a 1,200-mile border. My hope would be that as people like Mayor Adams would say that this is going to break New York City, even though they're encountering a fraction of the people that we do on a daily basis, that might get President Biden's attention. But the only thing I can conclude, Guy, is that President Biden doesn't care. I say that because if he did care, then he would engage with us to try to do something about it. But they simply are unwilling to work with us to try to bring an end to this crisis.
Oh, he won't barely even talk about it. He got dragged down there finally to see the border for the first time in his whole political career, which is a very long career. And at that time, they cleaned the whole place up. I think it was in El Paso, to the point that he didn't see a single migrant. So again, he's seeing some Potemkin fake reality compared to the totally unsustainable real reality that you just described. What can be done to try to force their hand, aside from busing a lot of these migrants to sanctuary cities? You mentioned that. It's getting a lot of attention. Seems like a pretty good move by Governor Abbott. And then the Democrats just bury their head in the sand, generally try to avoid talking about it, and then send some more federal money to those cities just as a Band-Aid.
Well, you're exactly right. And, you know, I've asked myself that every day when I come to the Senate. You know, what's it going to take to get their attention? Obviously, 7 million migrants coming across the border, including, as you point out, 1.5 million gotaways, who many of whom are carrying backpacks containing drugs like fentanyl, which continue to kill Americans, young Americans, all across this country on a daily basis. There are 300,000 children who have been placed with sponsors who come across unaccompanied across the border because they're treated differently than other migrants. They are literally placed with a sponsor in the interior of the United States and to await a hearing on their immigration status, which may never occur, probably will never occur. And they've lost track of those 300,000 children.
Right.
The New York Times recently wrote a piece you probably saw. It's been a series where they document some of these children are being used for forced labor. The Biden administration can't tell you whether they're being trafficked for sex, whether they're going to school, whether they are getting their health care needs attended to. They don't know, and they don't care. It's shocking to me. I just don't know what it's going to take other than an election that's coming up. President Biden's approval rating on the border and immigration is at 28%. I keep hoping that this becomes enough of a political liability that finally, out of their own self-interest, they decide to do something about it. But it hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's pathetic that it would take a partisan political calculation to actually pretend to care about this. The whole thing is just awful to watch. And it's also, as an issue, tied into the current impasse on Capitol Hill over spending and funding the government, Senator. You know that the House has various plans that they've been debating to try to keep the government open. There was a failed vote this afternoon on a CR. I know that there are talks on the Senate side that have been ongoing. What is your read? You've been through a lot of these battles over the years. What is your read on the current moment? Does it seem basically assured that there will be something of a shutdown in the next few days? And how do we get out of it, realistically?
Well, Guy, you're right. I have been through this before, and we've seen the movie before, and it never really ends well. Those who think that when you shut down the government that somehow you save money, you don't. They think that if you shut down the government, provides political leverage to get other things you want. It doesn't. And it creates enormous disruption. And the very money that we are talking about is the money that pays our uniformed military members. It provides the benefits to veterans. It pays the Border Patrol, who, as we are saying, are given an impossible job trying to defend our country and defend our sovereignty. So this is not a good outcome. But the final thing is that, you know, when you shut down the government because you're unable to actually reach some sort of agreement, at least on a temporary basis, is the same problems are there staring you in the face when you reopen. So you might as well do the hard work on the front end. But it looks like we are headed toward at least a short-term shutdown. There's just not enough time between now and midnight on Saturday for the House and the Senate to come to an agreement. And so likely what will happen tomorrow is there will be a vote to proceed to a continuing resolution that we will then send to the House. And then it's going to be up to Speaker McCarthy and the members of the House of Representatives to try to figure out whether this is something that can actually pass. But that's where we are.
Senator, I know that there are still talks underway, but if you had to guess, what would that CR out of the Senate look like? Would it be a clean CR? Would there be any border elements in there? How long would it last duration-wise if it were to become law?
Well, the duration and the contents of the continuing resolution are still being discussed. Obviously, if we could do something to enhance border security, I would be all for that. You know, the House has passed a bill called H.R. 2, which I've co-sponsored along with my colleague Ted Cruz of Texas, because as we've discussed, this impacts my state, our state, more than any other in the nation. But right now we're trying to see if we can reach consensus among Republicans in the Senate and then pick up maybe a couple of votes from Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, maybe a couple other people, to actually pass something and then send that over to the House. At least that gives Speaker McCarthy something to negotiate with when he's negotiating with President Biden on reopening the government.
How likely do you think that is for something to emerge from the Senate tomorrow?
I think it's likely, unless the House can actually pass a continuing resolution. I've been in favor of letting Speaker McCarthy do what he needed to do in order to actually pass something. But if they're unable to pass anything, then I think it's incumbent upon the Senate to do what we can and send it over to the House. Obviously, it's not going to become a law until the House passes it and the president signs it. But I think that's likely the way forward.
Well, more dysfunction, more chaos on Capitol Hill with another one of these cliffs, a man-caused budgetary disaster, and this is the latest one. We'll be watching it. We'll see what happens in both chambers in the coming days. U.S. Senator John Cornyn, a Republican of Texas, our guest here on the Guy Benson Show. Senator, thank you very much.
Thanks, Guy.
Let's take a break. Let's come right back. It is the happy hour on the Guy Benson Show. Stay tuned.
In the swamp, not of the swamp. Guy Benson.